So this is episode 35 of SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. I'm your host, Jeff Cole, editor of Security InfoWatch, and with us today, as always, Kevin Beaver from Principal Logic. Kevin, of course, is a notable author in the IT security space, having written Hacking for Dummies, Hacking Wireless Networks for Dummies, Laptop Encryption for Dummies, and lots of books that aren't for dummies as well. So, He also does a Security on Wheels audio program, which are IT training programs delivered in an audible format for your iPod or MP3 player, and is, of course, a regular writer for Security Technology Design Magazine, Search SQL Server, SearchDataBackup.com, and many other sites. So, Kevin, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, we brought Kevin on today to talk about a few things. The main thing we're going to get to is to talk about Vista and Windows 7 and what changes of operating systems mean for legacy software systems running on old machines back in the closet. So we're talking about that dusty old computer that's running your whole building's access control system that's in that basement. We're going to get to that in a little bit, but there were three things in the news this week related to security that I thought we should cover first. And especially based on Kevin's background, we want to talk about a WPA crack that was announced this week in the Wi-Fi community. Kevin, what's the read on that?
Well, essentially, a couple of researchers, one of which is the author of the AirCrack NG tool that has been used to crack wireless networks in the past, they basically found a new way to crack the WPA or Wi-Fi protected access encryption for wireless networks. You know, we talk all along, encrypt your wireless, and then people are doing that. They're even moving away from WEP, the predecessor to WPA, which has a lot of known issues, and now apparently WPA is being cracked. What they're doing is that they're able to crack part of the key. They're not able to crack all of it, but just part of the key in just a few minutes without actually using a dictionary attack, which can actually take quite a while, comparing all possible combinations of numbers and letters and whatnot. And that was previously the only way to crack it, but they're doing it now without using a dictionary in just like 5 minutes. And I think this sort of reaffirms the arms race that we're in with wireless. You know, you think you're safe, you've invested all this time and effort building up your infrastructure and getting up to WPA, and now all of a sudden it's vulnerable. So it's just one of those things.
And as I understand, this was done by the same guy who was able to crack WEP last year in less than a minute.
Right. It's the same, as far as I know, it's the same couple of researchers that's all they've been focusing on in this space. So it's they're definitely bringing light to the problem, which is good and bad. It's good in that we know that, hey, we're vulnerable now, we probably need to lock it down, but it's also bad in that it's leaking this information out to intruders and potential malicious employees that can exploit it as well.
And from what I hear, that right now WPA, though it's quote cracked, isn't fully cracked. It's
absolutely. Part of the there's part of the encryption within WPA called TKIP, and it's the TKIP key that's been cracked, and they're saying that they're going to be able to use this algorithm and this method to further penetrate the entire WPA and encryption spectrum, I guess, for lack of a better term. So it's just a matter of time before all of it's cracked. And then we're kind of back where we started with WEP. You know, when was that? 6-8 years ago.
And of course, we find that even WEP is still used today in some instances.
You know what? It is, and I still think people yell and scream about WEP being insecure and whatnot, but I still think WEP is better than nothing. You know, there's absolutely no excuse to have no encryption on your wireless network, so at least enable WEP, which is called, WEP stands for Wired Equivalent Privacy, and it's a type of encryption, and the way that it was implemented is flawed, and it's really easy to crack. But the thing is, it's still better than nothing. It creates a hoop for an attacker to have to jump through.
So I guess the read on this is, of course, WEP is broken, WPA is starting to crack, so our security community, especially those using wireless, whether it's for wireless cameras or wireless networks or backhaul, need to keep an eye on this, and as it breaks further, you may need to move on. Another story in the news this week, McCullough Corporation was shut down. This was a company believed to have been sending quite a bit of the spam that comes through the networks. In some reports, this is a hosting provider in California. They said it was potentially the home base for machines sending, quote, roughly 75% of all spam today. So this is a pretty serious break in the spam world. Of course, we can pretty well assume that the spammers will fill in the blanks and find more machines to send the spam, right, Kevin?
Absolutely. It's just like with a wireless encryption. It's an arms race, cat and mouse game, where we're constantly fighting their techniques and their knowledge and their unlimited resources.
And finally, President-elect Barack Obama has said that he is interested in forming a CTO for the government. Not really sure what that means yet. Kevin, what does a CTO typically do?
You know, it actually depends by organization, by the organizational structure, culture, politics, and whatnot. But by and large, the CTO is the head of IT, typically a technical person that's moved up through the ranks, but not always, but somebody that's over the technology infrastructure within an organization. And I say technology infrastructure rather than information infrastructure. That's typically where the CIO fills in the blanks. But CTO has a lot of responsibilities. In fact, a lot of my clients, a lot of the people that hire me are the CTO of the organization. And they've come up through the ranks. They're heading up the technology, the stuff that matters, the stuff that makes the business wheels turn. And they do a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but you know, obviously they're in a leadership role, and they've got to build a team of support personnel within the organization, both within IT as well as in the executive committee and operations, HR. They really touch every area.
I guess one of the hopes is that perhaps this could be used to bring together some of the security technologies used in the government and get some standardization there, which
right. I
could
think
be a bit
what,
of it.
What President-elect Obama was referring to, he's saying, you know, we're gonna get everything online. We're gonna just fully grow the technology of the federal government, and bring it into the 20th century, I guess. But I think it's like a lot of things. It's easy to say, yeah, we're gonna retrofit all this stuff and. And with unlimited funds, you know, that he has a good chance of doing it. But, you know, I think that's something that's going to take time. You know, it's probably not something that's going to be fully overhauled in place while he's still in office.
Certainly, making promises is a lot easier than actually going out there and doing the technology switchover, which is why, to bring us to our main topic, we still see old, dusty, yellowing machines running the access control or sometimes the video surveillance systems in the back offices of the security departments. Kevin, you're around, going around doing IT security assessments and jointly interacting with the physical security assessments in a lot of cases.
Right.
Is this something you see quite a bit?
It is. In fact, entire networks tend to have older systems on them. And I'm not just talking about Windows XP. I'm seeing Windows 2000, and especially in the case of these physical security machines that aren't really, you know, they're not active. People aren't sitting down at them working on them all day. They're just kind of sitting there running the system, generating logs and whatnot. I tend to see Windows 98. I've seen Windows 95, Windows NT. And the sad thing is that a lot of people in the IT department don't even know about them, or they say, well, that's not my deal. That's the physical security departments, and they manage that. But the point is, you know, you've got a sitting duck right there on your network, not vulnerable to an external hacker attack, but vulnerable to an internal malicious employee attack. That could somebody that could come in and just gain full access to your access control system, your video system, or whatever. So I actually see that a fair amount.
And of course, the reason these are sitting there is they do come out of, you know, different budgets. The software, while, you know, business software is typically maybe coming out of a corporate IT budget for your Microsoft Word, your voice over IP phone system.
Right.
The security department is funding the budget for the access control system, or for the gate log, or the alarm log report generating software. So these are, because it's coming out of a different budget, it doesn't maybe have that regular funding for an update, both on the hardware side and also on the software side.
Right. I can say that I have seen the mindset of, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And you know, I sort of live that mantra as well, but when it comes to computer security vulnerabilities on the IT side, it doesn't matter if it's not broke. If you don't think it's broke, it probably still is broke. You just don't realize it. And, you know, a lot of people in the physical security realm aren't necessarily keeping abreast of the latest and greatest hacking techniques and vulnerabilities and whatnot, and they assume that everything's okay, but that can get people into trouble.
And just as we, you know, started out this program today talking about the WPA crack, we start to look at these older machines, the older softwares, even the older operating systems that are running on the machines themselves. And there's a question of end-of-life situation. You know, are these softwares and are these operating systems being updated? Are they being patched? Are they being brought current? I would guess that the answer is no.
Yeah, they're not being updated. They're not being current. Again, going back to if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We can't afford to take that system offline. We can't afford for it to go down if we patch it or if we upgrade it. Yeah, I mean, it's... And I think we're going to see more of the same. You know, I think it's, most people aren't eager to upgrade to a new operating system just because, you know, especially on the IT side, given the overhead of upgrading, and, you know, there usually needs to be a compelling reason. And, you know, that's what we're seeing with some of the later operating systems from Microsoft and, you know, especially with Vista. There's no compelling reason to upgrade, but on the other hand, you know, that still doesn't make it right, you know. These systems, they will sit back and run themselves without a lot of user intervention, but, you know, you've got to, this is a whole risk management process. You've got to stay current, if anything, just to keep your physical security systems locked down.
And, of course, what's going on is that Microsoft is basically announcing plans for a new operating system. PDC, their Professional Developers Conference, was it last month, I guess it was, or earlier this month, they announced the Windows 7, which would be even a step forward from Vista, which is still fairly cutting edge right now.
Right.
And it sounds like that Windows 7 could be out as early as summer 2009. Of course, that's just a speculation right now from the analysts and the blogging community. Microsoft hasn't set an exact date on that. But, Kevin, as they roll out a new operating system, what does that mean for support of older operating systems?
Again, it goes back to the culture and the politics and the general mission of the organization. If the organization is, you know, if leadership is coming from the top saying we've got to stay current, if anything, you know, for security, which that's rarely the case, but we got to stay current for technology's sake. We've got to be able to adapt and innovate and whatnot. If it's coming from the top, I think some of this legacy software is probably going to have to be upgraded. It's going to have to be put onto at least XP, if not Windows Vista or Windows 7 coming down the road. So it varies in every single organization that I see. Everybody has their own opinion about whether or not they should upgrade these legacy systems and move forward, move into the next decade. But by and large, I'm still seeing some reluctance to upgrade, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But then they hire me to come in, and then I show them how vulnerable it is, and I show how a malicious user could gain full access to that system, delete files, copy files, set up backdoor accounts, and all that fun stuff, and then they see the value in upgrading.
So maybe if it ain't broke, don't fix it, but they're not realizing that it perhaps is broken. The of course, you know, Vista has been out for quite a while. Talk about sort of this, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. There's been a lot of companies that have really stuck with the XP operating system. Vista's been somewhat snubbed. And so we might see a little bit of a jump, perhaps directly from XP to Vista, Windows 7 in a couple years.
Right.
'Cause XP certainly has some shelf life left in it. Now, what that brings up are the security softwares, which are, you know, being written by niche companies in our industry, and usually aren't always the most current softwares. I say that they're not always pushing the limits on the new operating system and so forth. When Vista came out, there was a lot of worry in our industry that everyone would have to rewrite their softwares, but fortunately everyone pretty well stayed adopted on XP. But will those softwares, you know, that are designed for XP run on Vista, and would they run on Windows 7?
Well, let me answer the second question first. If they run on Vista, they'll most likely run on Windows 7, because a lot of the core OS of Vista is part of Windows 7, so that should not be an issue. But stepping back to Vista, I would say that based on my own experience, all but a small handful of applications will run on Vista. You know, it's mostly the applications that tie into the operating system, like antivirus and even like printer drivers and video card drivers and things like that. Those are the ones that are having the most issues with Vista. And the fact is, it remains to be seen, but I just haven't seen real problems in this area. Microsoft has a list of incompatible software with Vista on their website, but it's really short, and it's, like I said, it's mostly related to antivirus and other stuff that ties into the OS. What I have seen trouble with is stability, the hardware compatibility, and overall performance, and that's one of the big reasons Vista's getting a bad reputation. And I've actually experienced it myself. I bought a new laptop last year and tried Vista for 2 or 3 months, and I fought and fought and fought, and I literally lost like 60 to 80 hours of my life working on it, troubleshooting it, trying to patch it, trying to get it stable. And I finally just said, you know, forget about it. I went back to XP, and that was about the same time that Service Pack 3 came out, and it's been running like a charm.
But I guess we can assume that as newer hardware comes out that's really specifically designed for Vista, from what you said, that, you know, most software is designed for XP will run on Vista. Physical security departments that have that old XP machine running their software probably shouldn't have to worry about, you know, bringing it up to a new machine that's being supported by their IT department then.
I wouldn't think so all that much. It is something that needs to be on your radar, but it's something that it could be tested relatively easily. You get a copy of the software, you install it on a Vista machine, and you let it run for a week or so, and you just see what kind of problems you have with it. But I would say, by and large, I don't think it's going to be a huge issue.
Well, that's very good. Well, Kevin, we talked about some of the old operating systems. We're talking about XP like it's old, but obviously most of us use it. You're using it. I'm using it, it sounds like. What's the oldest OS that you've seen out there in the business environment that's still running? Seen any 3.1?
Windows 3.1. I haven't seen it in the past couple of years. Probably the oldest operating system I've seen in the past couple of years has been like NetWare 2.2 or NetWare 3.1, you know, going way back on the Novell side. But I still see some Windows 98 out there, occasionally Windows 95. But by and large, it's usually Windows 2000 or above. But still, even at Windows 2000, that software still has some security problems. Even if it's current with all the patches, it can still be exploited. So it's XP with the latest service pack is probably the operating system that most people should be looking at as a sort of a bare minimum to at least stay current with the latest in security to keep your systems in check.
Well, you heard it here, so if you've got an old machine in the background running your access control system, go into that closet, dust off the monitor, and check out which operating system it has, and consider budgeting some funds for a new machine. Of course, machines have gone down in price, up in power, up in storage, so this should be a fairly painless upgrade even in today's economic slowdown type of environment. Well, Kevin, thanks for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
And we'll be back soon with more from SIW Radio.